Happy New Year, Christ Fellowship family. Hope you're doing well and that 2023 is off to a good start. Today in the podcast, we're starting a new series where we're looking at transformation. And today, we are specifically looking at how do we walk forward with God. As we know, there's so many things that push against us, the enemy, darkness, sin. But how can we recognize that? And then what has God provided? What kind of wind to our back does God have to fuel us to move forward with Him? I'm looking forward to how God works this year, how He speaks to us, and how He invites us to walk forward with Him. We love you guys. Have a great day. If you're sitting down, tell somebody around you, Happy New Year. It is great to be with you guys this morning. For those joining us online, welcome. If you're a guest, welcome. I know we have some guests here, some that I know are going to be here, some that I have not met yet. So welcome to you guys. Oh, man, 2023. Wow. I am excited about this year. I'm looking forward to what we're going to learn together as a community, how God's going to reveal Himself to you. And as Kim and Jamie so eloquently referenced early on, we do start our fast on January 9th. You'll continue to hear some more information about that in the coming this coming week, and then maybe next Sunday we'll share about that. We'll give some more information. But I would ask you to be prayerful and not just, you know, what do I need to give up? You know, what's the fad diet going on, or, you know, what's the popular thing? But the whole point of this is to connect with God. And so even in asking the Lord, what would you have me fast? In essence, it requires us to connect with God, which is the point of the fast, all right? And so this week, I would really encourage you is to take a little time and say, Lord, our community is doing this thing called Withhold to Behold, this fast, 21 days. What would you have me fast this year to begin the year? And just sit with the Lord and ask Him a question. It's probably the best thing you could do this week is just to sit with the Lord, ask Him some questions and see what He has to say. What we've seen over the last 4 or 5 years is that God works in some powerful ways and brings revelation and healing in some really neat ways to our community during this fast. And so I would really encourage you to join us in that. Once again, you'll hear some more next Sunday, and then we're gonna start a week from Monday on January 9th. Today, I wanna share with you something I'm really passionate about. When I was praying for this year, for our community, for this church, for the greater East Tennessee Tri-Cities area, I felt like the Lord just kept whispering in my ear, transformation, transformation. I want to bring transformation. And what's great about that is we can take that to the bank that God always wants to bring transformation. So we don't have to say, is that God's will? No, it is God's will. I just feel like for whatever reason in this season and in this community that God is putting His finger on it, He's highlighting some things for our community. And so the first part of this year through January, we're going to be talking about transformation. What does it look like to be a person that is continually being transformed? And today I want to talk about something that I feel like God has put me on the earth, one of the things that He's put me on the earth to do, and that's to help people and organizations and communities to move forward into new places. As we were talking about today with our team, somebody had referenced the passage that says the old thing has gone, right? It's passed away. There is a new thing that God's... How many of you know God is always doing a new thing? Anybody else here? And so He doesn't need a change of the year to do a new thing. Amen to that? But this change of the year, it helps us posture our hearts to receive and to embrace the new thing that He's wanting to do. And so I want to talk about transformation over the next few weeks. And specifically today, I want to talk about what does it look like for us to walk with God into transformation. Here's what I believe is we are created to walk with God. This is what we see from the earliest parts of the scriptures. It tells us in Genesis that Adam and Eve, they walked in the cool of the day with God. Some of us were raised in church, and there's a song that we used to sing. And he, oh, does he? Oh. And He tells me I am His own. and the, really testing you now, the joy. No other. Wow, beautiful, 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 beautiful. That went worse than I thought it would. But anyhow, like we sing these songs, like here's something new. It's not new today that God wants to walk with you. You and I, if you're raised in the church, you have known from an early age God wants to walk with you. And here's what else we know from an early age. God doesn't want to just walk with you. He wants to talk with you. It shouldn't be news. God is a God who is with us. And as he's with us, he doesn't just give us the silent treatment. No, he speaks to us. And so you and I, we're created to walk with God. And as we head into this year, I'm telling you, I think there's something in this where he wants to bring transformation to individuals, but also communities. And it's gonna happen as we learn how at a deeper level to be with God, to walk with God. And this is what we see in the scriptures. Galatians chapter 5, a great passage, a beautiful, beautiful passage. It gets in a little bit later in the fruit of the Spirit. It's a well-known passage. But here's what it says in verse 14. It says, but I say walk, everybody say walk. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. So that desire of the flesh, it sounds super churchy, but what it's saying is if you walk with the Spirit of God, you will not get into things that'll keep you from intimacy with God. That you'll not want to turn to things and do things and say things and believe things that pull you away from that knowing, that deep union with God. So this is walk by the Spirit. And then a little bit later in that passage, this is what Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Romans 6:4, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might what? Might what? In the newness of life. You and I, the beautiful picture of baptism, we're buried in the death of Christ and we're raised up, and we're not raised up to sit in the baptismal. We're not raised up and given life so that we can sit our rear ends in church. Although it's good, but it's not the goal. The goal of you being raised to newness of life is to what? Walk. Walk with who? God. In newness of life. This is what we see Jesus do. He's consistently doing this in the Gospels. He's walking up to people. Matthew 9:9, Jesus passed on there, walked past there. He saw a man called Matthew sitting. I love that. Some of us, it's a prophetic picture that I'm just now seeing. Some of us are sitting and God's walking to us and saying, let's get up and walk. Matthew, I don't think it's a minor miss here or minor detail. It says that he is sitting in a tax booth. How many of you know? I'm gonna stop there. He was sitting in a tax booth and he said, follow me. And he rose and followed. You know what it required Matthew to do? Walk with Jesus. Jesus, come to us while we're sitting, while we're on the sideline, while we're leading lives that we know are not leading us to life, that we know it's not our purpose, our identity, and yet he comes to us in his kindness. He walks up to us and says, hey, stand up and walk with me, follow me. John 10:27, love this passage. Jesus' great teaching about the sheep and how he's the good shepherd. And he says, once again, referencing the song that we sang just a little bit ago so beautifully, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. They walk with me. They walk after me. One more, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Love this passage. Beautiful grace message that we need to get deep into our soul. But after the beautiful, we're saved by grace, by faith. It gets into chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship. You, listen, dear beloved, you are his workmanship. Do you know what that word means? It means masterpiece. In some translations, if they go into the original language, it means a poem, a beautifully put together poem of God. That's what he says about you. Do you believe that today? You are his masterpiece. It says that you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should what? walk in them. Walk in them. How many of you know that when we have the revelation of Jesus, the beautiful cross, the resurrection, and he says, follow me, that when I receive salvation, it is receiving, by the way, I don't work my way, I don't strive my way. When I receive salvation, he doesn't just say, sit on the couch and just hang out until I come back. How many of you know, it's like Jesus is like, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to freak out every time the news comes on, and I want you to just hold on tight, because someday I'm gonna get you out of that place. It's not what Jesus does. He says, listen, I'm the salvation. I'm the one that saves you. I'm gonna raise you from death to life. Now get up and walk with me. Talk with me. Let me tell you how beautiful it is that I call you my own. That's where transformation happens. And here's what I love about our church, is it is in line with the beautiful vision of our church. Here's what we believe, that God invites us to move forward and grow as we become all God designed us to be and do. Whoo! The vision of our church is to equip and empower individuals to be all that God designed them to be. And so we put that emphasis on be, because our being, it informs our doing. But how many of you know that us, given the revelation of our identity, getting the revelation of the beautiful righteousness that we have in Christ, that working through our healing and our past traumas, working through all, it is of exponential value. But how many of you know all of that is not unto you showing up at church and holding that all to yourself? Like, God's goal for you is not for you to just get healthy, 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 and more spiritual and more spiritual. No, no. The goal is that, but it is unto you walking with God and giving it away. And so we as a community, we want to be a people that are equipped and empowered to be, so that as we are being, we can then go do. God is not opposed to doing. He's opposed to doing to try to be loved. And so we as a community, part of our transformation process is us to know who we are, what God says about us, but then that is then to position us to go and do the things that he's planned for us. I've been pondering this for a while about God, how he collaborates with humanity. It's actually what my message primarily on Christmas Eve. God bless AEP and all the people that work out there and working hard. I love that. But we didn't have electricity, so we didn't have gatherings here. But the whole premise of the message is that everything that God wants to do throughout history, he's done through humanity. And so just let this, not responsibility, but the weight of this reality hit us for a second. Everything that God desires to bring about on the earth in 2023, which is amazing, by the way, is gonna be done through collaboration with human beings like you and me. How many of you believe that God has some incredible things that he wants to do in and through our nation? Anybody believe that? For sure, love. How many of you believe that God has some incredible things he wants to give and reveal to Eastern Tennessee? Come on, yes, let's go, right? Now, this is gonna go more intimate. How many of you believe that God has some incredible things that he wants to pour out and teach and reveal to you and your family in 2023, right? Here's the thing with all those things that we believe is, in his divine, infinite wisdom, he says, I'm gonna bring all that about through people like you and me. He says, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Being leads to doing. Now, if you're like me, you've experienced that this isn't always super easy, right? I mean, the disciples saw that. Jesus says, follow me. They follow him. They still don't get it. They don't understand it. They watch him, they learn, and then he sends them out and they do some things right, but they don't really get it until like it's all done and he's raised and ascended, and they still are trying to learn as they go, and they're still on a journey of transformation until their death. And so we, as a people, we should recognize that's the same thing. And here's what I found out. When God says, Derek, I want you to walk with me, it's like, Derek, come and walk with me. But here's what I find is when I'm walking with God, Satan pushes back where God is pushing forward. Anybody else experienced that before? It's like the very area I'm like, I feel like the Spirit is moving. He's given me a vision for, he's given me a picture of what it's gonna look like. And I'm like, let's go. And it's the very, very thing where I find the most pushback. Anybody else know that, what I'm talking about? It's like, man, I feel like the Lord wants me to get healthier this year. And I'm like, yes, I feel the zeal of the Lord on that. I'm gonna get healthier, I'm gonna make good decisions. And then I drive by Pals, right? Or I'm like, I'm gonna exercise. And then, you know, that alarm clock just is in reach and that snooze button is right there. Or I'm gonna stop drinking. I feel like the Lord's like saying to me, he wants me to not partake in that because it's leading me to some hard things. And it's like, I keep getting invited to all these parties and gatherings. Or man, I feel like this, the Lord is inviting me to say, man, I want you to have an amazing marriage. I want you to learn how to be a great spouse. And then as soon as that happens, like, you know, your spouse lets you down. Or you get into an argument. God, man, I want to get up and I want to read the word. I want to learn with you. I feel like the Lord is on this. And then it's like, scroll. This is a part of our existence. As human beings, the Lord is saying, let's move forward. And every time the Lord is moving forward, what we feel is the pressure of an opposing force that wants to keep us from moving forward. This is what's gonna happen in 2023. Listen, right now, we're all gung-ho, we're all excited. Yes, 2023, God, let your kingdom come. Glory, God, let's go. But I'm telling you right now that some of your greatest breakthrough this year is gonna come through your greatest difficulty. Like the areas that we want breakthrough the most are gonna come disguised as a problem. This is how it always has been, by the way. And we should not be surprised. Because we have a God that says, will you walk with me? And we have an enemy that says, no, sit down a little longer. Or what he'll say is God's like, let's walk this direction. And the enemy's like, hey, why don't you just walk in a circle? God, I hear you, you wanna move forward. And the enemy's like, yeah, but why don't you just stay right here in your comfort zone a little bit longer? Let's just put it off again. Like oftentimes our greatest breakthrough, it comes through our greatest challenge. And so in 2023, let me just say, don't be surprised by the pushback when you move towards wholeness, move towards healing, move towards drawing near to God. There will be pushback. And guess what that resistance does? It builds bigger muscles. It builds stronger faith. And so as I was thinking about this, I've shared with a few teams that have come through as we've had teams from all over the country come in and spend some time with our staff and our leadership team. I think we got a picture here. So can you put the first picture up there, Tom, of the guy? This is Stick Man. And he is moonwalking or he's walking forward. Hopefully he's walking forward here. And so these arrows on the right are resistance. What we experience resistance when God's saying, Derek, walk with me. Here's three things that you're gonna find this year that are really good for you to know. I'm pulling back the curtain right now, the enemy's playing right now, okay? And I'm trying to give us all a heads up and a leg up on the enemy, okay? So the first thing that we see in his arsenal, because he never does anything new, he always does the same thing, he copies the same thing. The first thing that he's gonna attack us with is a false belief. You say a false belief about what? About God, about ourselves, about others, and about our circumstances in our world. This is the root, you can just keep that up there. This is the root, by the way, of all sin. All separation, it's not money, remember? It's the love of money, that's a root, not the root. You know what the root of all sin is? It's a false belief. Even money, it's a false belief about money that leads us to separate from God's will. Oh, and we know this is the very beginning. Adam and Eve, they were walking, they were living out that song, Andy. They knew God by first name, Andy. Andy walked with me, right? Andy talked with me. And he told me I was his own, right? Like, this is how intimate they knew God, first name basis. They loved him, they knew him, walked in the cool of the day. That's not bad theology, I'm just joking, okay? But what happens? They believed a lie. They got a false belief. They believed a couple things. They believed, first and foremost, that God was holding out something good for them because he told them not to eat of a tree, a specific tree, just one tree. Have at everything. He said, don't eat this one tree because God is good. He's benevolent. And he knew that it would not be good for them. And so he said, don't eat of that tree. And so the enemy comes on and says, man, God is like holding back on you. He knows that if you ate like that, you would become like him. So they have this false view of God, that God is not good. Some of us in the room, we're struggling with this today, and that's okay. You're in the right place to struggle. It's always what the enemy will attack you with, the goodness of God. It's the cornerstone of our faith. Is God good? He is. But we gotta navigate through it sometimes. And then that belief of saying, I'm not enough. They were already made in the image of God. We read that in Genesis 1, 25, 26 area. But then they believe, like, I'm not good enough, so guess what I have to do? I gotta take things in my own hands. That false belief led them to separation and hiding and guilt and shame. And it does the same in our lives right now. And so in 2023, as God's saying, hey, walk with me, let's walk, you just need to know some of the pushback is gonna be a false belief about God, about ourselves, about our community, and about the world. All right. Second thing that we see Satan uses to push us back, to keep us from walking forward with God, is fear. All the time, fear. Fear gets us in flight or fight. We know that. We learned that in class, but it is so true in our own life. It teaches us, or it puts us in a position where we feel like we have to do something on our own. This is what Adam and Eve did. They took it into their own hands. They literally took of the tree that they weren't supposed to. They took it in their own hands. So when we're in fear, we make really poor decisions. We will either self-protect or self-promote. Winship has incredible teaching about that, has led us through so much of that. But this is what fear does. It puts us in a position to just, how do I survive? And I'm gonna do my best to watch out for me. And this is what we see consistently throughout the scriptures. It's not just Adam and Eve do this. What did Moses do? Moses was there to be the savior. He was there to lead Egypt out. Where does he go? He gets scared and he runs what? Out into the pasture for years and years. We're running from what he's really supposed to do. How many of you know some of us do that too? We're running away from the very thing God put us on the earth to do. We see this in Gideon, scared to death. What's he do? He's hiding down, beating out wheat and, you know, trying to stay below the Midianites. Even the disciples, right? When they get scared, what do? They go back to what they know, fishing. This is human nature. It's our human bent. When we get fearful, we go to what gets us comfortable. So we turn back to the addiction. We turn back into the bad habits. We turn back to the people that we know are gonna lead us to death and gonna kill us in lots of different ways. This is what we do, fear. Fear the enemy this year. I don't have to say this too loudly because you know it's true. The enemy is gonna use fear this year to try to keep you from walking forward with God. And the third thing that the enemy is gonna use this year and any other time is, I think I got a formula. Now that could go a lot of different ways, but I didn't have enough space on there and I wanted to use an F. You see the theme here, F, 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 yeah? It's locked in. I was in a formula. Oh. Formulaic thinking. Where I'm rigid, I believe what I believe and there's no space for me to learn, there's no space for me to ascend and grow. And so when I get into this formula thinking, I'm in a rut and I can only stay in the rut. Have you ever been on a dirt road and you get in a rut? It's so hard to get out of that rut, right? Your tires are locked in. This is what happens with us and this is where the enemy wants you. He wants you in a place where you're unable to change. Unable to change your mind, to change your thinking, to change how you approach God, to change how you hear from God. He wants you to say, this is it. There's nothing new. It's just one of the ways that he is killing the church, trying to kill the church. How many of you know the church can't be killed though? The powers of hell can't prevail. But we can operate less than what he's called us to. It's a humbling truth. And one of the ways that we do that is we, as a community, as a religious entity, as a family, we can get locked into formulas. This is how God worked 20 years ago. We're just gonna keep doing the same thing until God does it again. 20 years later, where's God? I don't know, but we're gonna keep doing the same thing. And so one of the ways the enemy is gonna try to keep you from walking with God into the new things that he has is for you to hold so tight to what the past has been that you can't receive what the new thing he's doing in the future. False belief, fear, and formulaic thinking. This is the scheme of the enemy against you in 2023. So thankfully, as Satan pushes back, as the enemy, as darkness, as evil pushes back, God is also pushing forward. Amen? And so we see this. Here's three things that are gonna help you out. And I want you, when these three are done, I want you to take a picture of this, and I want you to spend some time this week asking the Lord about these things. So the first thing, how does God, how does he work with false belief? He gives us truth. John 8:31 says, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. How does God want to dispel the false belief? He wants to give you what's true. How does he do that? Well, it's not a religious thing, but let me just tell you, this amazing book here is filled with truth. You wanna know what God is like? Read this to get to know God, not how to try to argue against your enemies. I'm gonna say that again. This book right here is best and most powerful when it's used as a way to get to know God and what he says about us, more than how do you defend your position and how do you win an argument. This book is filled with truth if we could receive it, and it does set us free. But also when we pray, man, as a community, we believe that God speaks. And when we ask him questions and we position ourselves and we learn how to listen to his voice, he shares things. And so as 2023 is here, as we find ourselves believing a false thing that we all will happen to have at some point or another, what do we do in that moment when we realize that we should ask the Lord, God, what is true in this moment? When I find myself in a heated discussion, aka argument with somebody, in that moment, do we have the maturity and the wisdom to pull back and say, God, what do you want me to know about this person right now and about this situation? How do you see them? Truth sets us free. So he dispels false belief with truth. How does he dispel fear? Well, it's one word, love. This is what we see in the scripture, right? There's no fear in love. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So this year, I want you to hear this, and I know it's kind of goes against Christian, you know, top 50 hits or whatever. Fear is not a liar. It's a great song, made a lot of money for somebody, not true. Fear is not a liar, and we've talked about this a lot. Fear actually shows us what we're actually believing. And fear really shows us what we're trusting in. So it's not a liar, it's just saying, this is what you're really hoping for. When the economy is going crazy and we're scared, is that a lie? No, it's saying I'm putting my trust in the future in an economy that I can't control. When I'm scared about politics and like we got an election in a couple years and all this stuff and I feel myself fearful, is that a lie? No, it's just telling me I'm putting my faith in a person or a party more than I am the King of Kings. And so fear is not a liar, it's actually a great truth teller if we'd allow it. It's actually not something we just wanna push down. We actually wanna say, Lord, what are you trying to show me? What's going on here that I'm fearful? And as we do that, we see that the one who calls himself love wants to eradicate our fear by us recognizing his presence. The God who is love says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So in every situation, love is present. Are we tracking with me? Love is present. So guess what that means in every situation? That love is present, that means fear does not have to be the primary voice you listen to. Perfect love present drives out fear. This is what it means to be with God, to recognize him, to abide with him. And the third thing here, as we look at, as the enemy is pushing against us with formulaic thinking, what the Lord is inviting to is freedom, creativity. This is what we read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. How many of you know fear is a terrible slave owner? And it's so quickly in our day and age, it's so prevalent in our nation right now that we are so driven by and slaves to fear in so many ways. And I just wanted to tell you, you're not a slave to fear anymore. You're no longer a slave to fear. You have a father in which the Spirit has cried out, Abba, Father. To not fall back into that way of thinking. You've been saved. You've been set free to walk, to not to circle in fear. You've been set free. Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. I love that. Abba, Father. And here's where I want to close today, is this piece on freedom. It's rooted in the presence of God. It's rooted in what Jesus came to teach us. The word that I love is the word repent, to change your mind. That's what it means, to change your mind. And in 2023, here's a newsflash for all of us. God is going to ask each and every one of us to change our mind about something. See, we're transformed to the degree that we change our minds to agree with God. I want to have that up there. Is that on the screen there? As we head into 2023, listen to this. You will experience transformation in this season, in this new year, to the degree that you are willing to change your mind to come into agreement with what God has said and what God is saying. So what does that look like? What does that look like for you? What does that look like for me? And so I would love for you, if we can put that screenshot back up there of all those out there, all six of those things here. So this is what the enemy's doing this year. False belief, fear, formulaic thinking. He wants to get you in a rut. He wants you to walk in circles just like the Israelites, walking in circles, not moving forward to the promised land. It's what he wants for you, but God is saying, no, I want you to know truth. I've already set you free. Listen to my truth, abide in my word, and you will know the truth. He wants you to know that you are loved. Oh my goodness, and perfect love is with you at all times. And he wants you to walk in freedom and creativity to be able to change your mind, not be stuck in a static old wineskin. He wants us to be the new wineskin. So this year, I would ask you to take some time this week and process this with the Lord. Where are you experiencing the enemy come in and offer false accusation and deception? Where do you sense him pushing back? Where do you sense the Lord saying, here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to walk you through. And as we walk with God, what I found in my own life is that's where transformation happens, when we yield to him and we say yes to him. And the beautiful thing about church is we are a community where we don't have it all figured out, right? We are learning how to walk with God. And so as a community, one of the things that I would say this year is the best way to do this is for you to learn how to be transformed, continually be transformed in the presence of community. That's why we have small groups. That's why we have our equip classes. That's why we have all these gatherings that come together, because you and I, to be transformed, we need a community to encourage us, to motivate us, to keep us accountable.